What's up, Seas members? Welcome to another episode of JRPG Book Club with Ty,
Jack,
and Bill.
And today we're covering Persona 3.
This was,
if I remember correctly, one of my decisions, because I've heard...
Both you and me had it on our lists.
Okay, cool.
Remember? It was like, oh, we both had that.
Yeah. Because it's just one of those games that we've heard a lot about. It's a Persona game. Bill and I have both played Persona 5, which we're going to talk about.
I've played 5, I've played 4. I'm familiar with like the SMT franchise.
So. Yeah, we're going to be talking about that throughout the episode. But this is Jack's welcoming to Persona games, if I remember correctly.
What a welcome this game was.
Yeah.
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 What a mix this was for me. But before we go into, like, I guess our personal thoughts on it and stuff like that, let's start with just kind of brief overview of the story stuff, because let's just get that out of the way, because it's not like a super long thing, but most of the depth comes from, you know, context and what's going on and things like that. So like the overall story is pretty short too.
The story is like kind of the better part of it seems to be kind of like backgroundy. It doesn't really take the stage
until probably the latter half.
Felt like there was no story until about 60 hours in, maybe 70.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had that many hours into that before stuff started cooking up, but I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
There's nothing serious happening.
The first half of the game is just kind of talking to people.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that goes into, like, the aspect of just, like, building the world, maybe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, it's you come in as a transfer student, which is kind of a Persona mainstay. And it follows a group of high school students who can perceive this extra hour that exists. Most people kind of get put into, what, a coffin thing and don't really know what's going on. People are asleep or unconscious or whatever during that time. And then they refer to it as the dark hour.
Yeah. So the dark hour takes place between midnight and 1, I think? They just kind of say it happens at midnight.
It happens at midnight, time stops, and there's an hour that only the special people can perceive.
Yeah, the 25th hour. And then...
It's bogus, because I know I went into those dungeons longer than an hour.
Dude, I spent days in those dungeons.
But basically, as Bill said, everybody's like a coffin, except for a certain amount of people who are called Persona users. Personas, for those who haven't really played a Persona game, are stands. They're JoJo's Bizarre Adventure stands. Basically flat
JoJo,
out.
JoJo would say... No.
And so these characters have to kind of fight off these things called shadows, which are also kind of hard to describe. They're
kind of what the shadows kind of are, and in later ones becomes more entangled with it.
Yeah.
So the Persona users kind of have their own, like, specific one that's kind of tied to them for those games. Generally, you can't summon them. And as you... basically, as you go, your main character is usually the wild card, which means they could have multiple Personas.
Yeah.
And basically, you take the demons... So, like, this game, it had a, like, card shuffling mechanic kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where you either got, like, some extra health or a weapon or a persona out of it. Later games, they have kind of a dialogue mechanic and stuff like that. They've done it kind of differently depending on which one you're playing.
Yeah, we've previously described it as, like, a Pokemon mechanic.
Yeah, but a little bit different because it's not, like, you're not catching it. It's triggered by the game.
Yeah.
This one is kind of less dedicated because it's like you could be fighting this one persona, but the one you get in the shuffle mechanic is different.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different from other games' mechanics to it.
Definitely. And then these characters, or during the Dark Hour, rather, there's a tower called Tartarus that manifests where every character goes to school. And basically, the goal of the game is to climb Tartarus, to get to the top of Tartarus, to end the Dark Hour, because the Dark Hour is causing something called apathy syndrome, or at least people think it is, in which you basically turn into a walking zombie.
Yeah, That's pretty much it. It's basically all non-important characters get slowly turned into that.
Yeah, real thirsty is really what it is. And you sit there, you get lazy and thirsty.
Yeah.
but yeah, you know, that's the original driving goal. You don't really get too much explanation or context for the first half of the game for the most part. Like, you get little bits and pieces and kind of like, oh, we're alluding to this thing, but we're not telling you
kind
of stuff. For the first, like, good chunk of it. And then as the game develops, probably about halfway through, you get a lot more context and stuff that goes on. And it's kind of the story beats become a little bit more regular, I feel like. I feel like a lot of the story for this game lies into, like, all the social links and stuff like that. And it's true to the Persona series, but I feel like this one felt a little bit flatter in terms of, like, how endearing these characters are. But, again, we can get into that more later.
Yeah.
But yeah, the latter half, you know, I feel like the next, like, major point, you know, you get is probably when you get Fuka. You get a little bit of character development and some other stuff. And then shortly after, it's when you go on vacation for the summer. Those are probably the next two big story bits.
Yeah. So basically, after the summer vacation is really when the story kind of starts taking off. Like, that's a bit after the midpoint. And it really kicks off with getting Fuka, who's your navigator, which is another Persona mainstay, if I'm correct.
Yep. At least for the... So Persona 3, Persona 4, and Persona 5 were all done by the same, like, game director.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, like, regular themes. So all three of them have a navigator character.
Okay. Yeah, so as soon as you get Fuka as the navigator, the story really starts taking off. And basically, from what I remember, feel free to, like, cut in and correct me, guys, but
there's a lot.
Yeah, there is a lot. Mitsuru, who is one of the founding members of Seize, the group that fights shadows, her father, through science experiments, I forget exactly how it was. Through what?
Her grandfather.
Her grandfather. Her grandfather basically created the Dark Hour.
Yeah, because they're trying to do some sort of, like, time manipulation experiment thing.
Yeah.
And then supposedly kind of started going crazy about the god Nyx or whatever.
Yeah.
We'll get into that more.
who's an actual god, by the way.
Yeah. Basically you have, he kind of goes crazy. Yukari's father was a scientist there, who's like the lead scientist there. Was the one who took all these, the super god thing, like, before it happened, he was able to split those up into 12 persona based on the shadows based on the arcana, which are the things that you're fighting every full moon.
Yes.
So the game is broken up into segments, basically. So, like, the first segment is, like, when you first get there and stuff. The second segment is the next, like, month. It's broken up into months, and after each full moon you can proceed further in Tartarus because you get blocked off.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the progression of the game, is you do a month of stuff, you go into Tartarus, you go do stuff, then full moon thing happens, you beat the full moon thing, you proceed further.
Yeah.
It's the basic rundown of it. So he's the one who broke him up and did that.
Yeah. And then after you defeat all of the Arcana Shadows, I'm just going to call them the Arcana Shadows. I remember there was a specific name for them, but I can't remember.
I don't remember it.
Me neither.
But after you defeat all the Arcana Shadows, or, like, the better part of the way through them, you realize that you're kind of the bad guy, in a way. Well,
so the director guy, who has been, like, you're kind of your leader, or your guiding character, he was in with it with the original, the grandfather guy, who... You don't know this till later, because he's the one who's like, oh yeah, you have to go beat all the 12 Arcana shadows.
Well, for a bit you didn't know. You didn't know you had to beat
them. You didn't know that until much later. Once you finally beat all 12 is when he reveals himself.
Well, what I mean is, like, he didn't know, or at least he didn't tell you. He's like, we should beat, you know, explore the tower. Oh, it's weird that these guys keep showing up every full moon. Let's look into that. And then he's like, oh, every full moon, It's a new guy. So then how many Arcana are there? There's this many. Oh, so there's only, like, four more left. Let's go kill them all. And then maybe the Dark Hour will end. And so that's what drives you.
Right. He was clearly playing you kind of thing, because he was there when all the original stuff was happening. So he knew they got split up, all this stuff. So he was playing the team.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it was one of those things where I'm like, he's going to betray you at some point. I didn't realize how like major that point was. But yeah, either way, broke him up into that. There's that. But yeah, so Mitru's father was trying to like help them not have the god get summoned or whatever, but he didn't really know enough. It was mostly through through the director.
Yeah. So it basically gets revealed that he's been trying to like kind of play you guys to get rid of the arcanas so Nyx can fully form, I guess, and kill everyone. So
basically what had happened is they took all parts, they took the character known as the Praiser and split them up into 12.
Yeah.
And so the final part was the character that you see, spoiler, because we've already spoiled a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
at this point, is the character, what's his name, Ryoji?
Ryoji, yeah.
Yeah.
He was the final piece. And so 10 years ago, there was a battle between a character named Aegis and Ryoji.
Aegis, whatever.
They had a battle. Aegis defeated him and took that last bit. Your character was there as like a kid. I think it was right after your parents died, kind of thing, like during the car crash or whatever. And she put this like spirit of him into you, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout the beginning of the game, you saw this like little kid kind of thing. Like he's a regular like part every little bit.
I hated him.
He would show up and be like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And like kind of like
trying to sleep, go away.
But yeah, so it was this character that was around, and yeah, that's you find out that was Ryoji. He was like a spirit that only you saw because he was inside of you or whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, so once you beat all 12, he basically became whole, and so his spirit or whatever left you and manifested in the real world as like this character. And then he started to basically become friends with your friend group and stuff. So there's a period of time where you get to like hang out with him and stuff.
Yeah.
He wanted to fuck, man. He wanted to have sex. Yeah, as soon as he came to existence, he's like, "Hey, baby, how you doing? Hey, baby, how you doing?" Every single
character.
God, could you imagine being manifested of like all the arcana and be the shadow monster, and the second you see a woman, you're like, "Oh shit, that's what I'm focusing on right now." A teenager.
About now.
Oh god, it's funny because like when I was playing through this story, I was just like, "Okay, yeah, this makes enough sense. This is fine." But now that I'm like kind of reading it back, I'm starting to realize how kind of silly some of this is. I mean, it's the same thing kind of with like the Persona 5 story in a couple ways, where like after a while, you're like, "Okay, that's a little bit silly, but whatever."
I feel like these stories, they have like these really deep things, but at the same time is like, what?
Yeah. The thing is, this game like hinges on that what, which is the weird part.
Okay, so my what was like, what's going on? Nothing's happening. And then because at the beginning of the game, you're like, what's the goal here? And they're like, "Well, there's a tower, we can explore it." Okay. And so we do that. Then you go through the game, and then it's like, "Oh, well, there's these guys that show up every full moon." It's like, "Okay, I guess I'll kill some more." And then you kill them all, nothing happens. And then I was like, as a player, at like 60 hours in, I was like, "This is so annoying. Why there's still no story?" And then the president betrays you and then dies in the cutscene. And then they literally go, "Now what do we do?" And I'm like, "Yeah, now what do we do?
Chairman?
Whatever." He dies in a cutscene because Dog saves you.
Yeah, the best character.
Oh, Koromaru is amazing.
Yeah.
Koromaru is the best character.
But as a player just who spent all this time, I'm just like, there's still no story. And even the characters are like, "Now what?" There's nothing going on.
Like the whole like last like month and a half or whatever.
It's so
like,
frustrating.
What are we doing? We're just waiting.
And then this guy shows up and you're like, "This guy's an asshole. He just wants to bang everybody." You know he's gonna betray you, and it's like,
"Yeah,
great." And then he was the dude. And I was like, yeah, okay.
So no, we haven't talked about creepy Jesus and his posse.
oh yeah, because they're hardly important.
Yeah, though it what was it, it that does contain his posse does contain like the coolest character, and it was the girl.
The girl's cool, yeah.
And actually gives Junpei a like kind of jokey character, like a serious like backstory almost.
I didn't like her at all.
I refer to Junpei as like the secondary character.
Yeah.
Because, like, at least the 3, 4, and 5 all have this, where you have the secondary character. He's usually, like, the first person you meet, or your best friend, or something like that.
My sweet boy Ryuji, yeah.
Ryuji in P4, or P5, which is probably my favorite of all of those three. Then you have Yusuke in 2, and sorry, not 2, in 4, who's real pervy, and I don't like him. He's my least favorite of the three. And then you have Junpei. Junpei is, like, dumb. But you know, like that whole arc made me like not hate him.
Yeah, exactly. Like he went from this character, like whenever Yukari called him Stupe, I'm like, oh, I got him. And then after a while, I was like, okay, but he's actually cool. And what
you remember that last time when she was like, what are you like? She didn't say this exactly. It was like, what are you stupid or whatever during that like last like they're making the decision thing.
Yeah.
And he was like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're right. You're horrible. I was with him on that point. I'm like, you just like dealt with some shit. Like,
yeah.
And Yukari was just like, that was uncalled for, Yukari. Like, stop.
So basically, there's another group during the Dark Hour that's trying to stop you, and they're also killing people.
If you go into this forum and say, I don't like this person, you should kill them, they will go and kill them during the Dark Hour for you.
They're kind of like mercenaries, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's weird because it's such an interesting idea, and then they don't.
They're hitmen, not mercenaries.
Yeah, and then they don't really do anything. They literally just kind of antagonize you for a little bit, and that's the end of it.
Right.
Well,
what's funny is like, and either they say it in the game or they say it in the movies, which I watched. That he was like, yeah, it's. He's like, we were like, not doing anything, but we were doing the right thing, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, they were the bad guys, but they're also, like, the good guys, too, which was kind of funny, like, duality of it.
How were they the good guys?
They weren't the good guys, but they were not causing the end of the world. Like,
exactly. They were killing people for fun.
Again, I wasn't saying
that. But they weren't killing everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. They're killing everyone because they enjoyed their powers so much. And then in the end, they're like, we hate our powers. And I was like, what?
Right. It's weird. It was a weird group. I like Chidori a lot.
Chidori was cool.
The other two kind of was whatever.
Yeah. We're almost 20 minutes in and we're still on the story, so I'm going to wrap it up really quick. Basically, you have the option of killing Ryoji or letting him live, and then that ends with your good ending and your bad ending. The good ending is, if I remember correctly, you let him live, and then he becomes Nyx and tries to destroy the world, and you guys stop him.
Yeah, and then you do the final boss battle and everything, yeah.
Yeah, and then you do the 14-phase final boss battle, which we'll get to.
We'll get to that.
Then you beat it, everything kind of goes back to normal. Some characters lose their memory. Depending on what version you play, the main character dies too. Like, there's...
That's only for the answer, though.
Yeah, that's for the the answer, which is the epilogue in FES.
Only in FES.
Yes. Oh, we should probably mention now, Bill and I played portable.
So there's three versions of the game. There's Persona 3, Persona 3 FES, which is like the definitive edition or whatever that came out after.
Yeah.
And Persona 3 Portable. So Persona 3 came out in 2006, if I remember correctly. The FES edition came out in 2007. Persona 4 came out in, I think, 2008. And then Persona 3 Portable came out like right after that.
Yeah.
So it took a couple like combat enhancements and stuff like that into that one. Yeah. The difference with Persona 3 Portable is that there is it's basically not a dating sim, but like a visual novel kind of style. So rather than there being like character sprites and stuff moving around, you just kind of get character images and little icons kind of on a map that you like have a cursor that go around instead of walking around the overworld.
Yeah. Which in its own way was a little annoying.
I played Fez, though, and I had that. And that was so frustrating because I never knew if there was going to be a new NPC I needed to talk to or a guy who'd show up on the street. So I literally every day went to every spot, walked around, talked to everyone.
Yeah.
And most, and I would say about 99% of the time, it was, I didn't need to do that. It was the exact same thing every time.
So I feel like the portable edition ad, like it's much more streamlined in that way. Where it's not as much of a, I guess, nuisance, if you will.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of really annoying. Because, like, so I started playing this as the FES edition initially. Then I'm like, oh, I don't really want to deal with this. because it was the combat that was bugging me. I started playing this right after I was, like, probably halfway through Persona 4, or Persona 5 Royal.
Yeah. Which
the combat is so much better in Royal. By a significant margin. This one's fine, combat-wise, for the most part. But, like, Royal is a completely different ballgame because it's just so much more refined and better, in my opinion. So going straight from that to this was a hard jump. So I was like, all right, I like handheld stuff better anyway, so I'm going to play the portable edition.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see doing that for the entire game would have gotten annoying, Jack.
Oh, yeah. I would say, like, maybe 5-6 hours is just me running around doing nothing.
I believe that. Absolutely, I do.
Yeah, like, because the thing is, going around the map in 4, or not 4, in the portable version was a little annoying. But the thing is, it wasn't bad, because you were able to kind of spot check something, of just go somewhere, see if there's any new icons, switch.
Exactly. You could very easily just do a sweep of the area, just like, oh, all right, we're done. And you could quick travel out of there, basically.
Yeah. But
much more speedy in mind.
But now that we've fully transitioned out of the story, none of us played the answer. We should probably say that right now. We're probably going to get a mad Persona fan about that. But none of us played the answer. Weren't too interested in it. I think we all kind of read what happens a little bit, which is why we're not going into details, because none of us played it.
I only know light spoilers for it. I don't know the full details. It was weird.
Because I know it's more focused on Aegis.
Yeah. I don't know the full details. You read about it, didn't you?
Yeah, I read about it.
Do you want to go about it real quick?
Yeah, so from what I remember, we're going to get crucified by Persona fans, but what I remember is after the events of Persona 3, when everybody gathers to see the sleeping main character, he dies?
That's what I assumed happened.
So, because in the original, they kind of keep it ambiguous or whatever, or in the Portal one, at least. But in the answer, he dies, and they want to try to save him, and they have to go back into Tartarus. But Tartarus has 10 more floors going down now. So they have to go down the additional floors to try to save his soul or something.
Hmm.
And
In the basic 3, there's already 10 extra floors going down. That was just like an extra like challenge thing.
Yeah.
Let me see.
This might be a different Tartarus.
So you might be thinking of something else.
Tartarus disintegrates at the end.
Yeah, it sticks around kind of. One sec, I'm bringing up the official wiki just so I could like 100% put this to rest instead of us just like guessing.
They really hinted at your guy was gonna die, because every single person you talked to in the epilogue was like, hey, you don't look so good, you should go to the nurse.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, with a game about death, I would imagine that it would be, you know, it's kind of fitting.
Yeah.
I mean, in the cutscene too at the end, you it looked like you're sacrificing yourself anyway.
Yeah, right. So I had it spoiled that the main character supposedly dies. I thought that it was during like the final battle. So that's what I had expected.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, I'm reading, I'm double checking and kind of rereading through all of this. But so they don't go back to Tartarus. It's the dorm. The dorm gets stuck permanently on March 31st. So it's a Groundhog's Day situation. Great. And then once again, the main character dies. And they are not entirely sure why. Aegis gets Orpheus, the main character's original persona, and also gets the wild card ability.
So and then Aegis?
Yeah, Aegis gets the main character's original persona. And then Aegis has a counterpart named Metis, I believe.
Oh.
And underneath the dorm is something called the Abyss of Time, which is causing the time skip, and it's more floors. It's more Tartarus, basically.
Cool.
Yeah, what I had heard it's probably about 10 hours of content, but or more. I think the back of the box said 30 hours. Speedrunning is 10.
Yeah.
And only about, so say of that 30 hours of combat, basically 4 of it is story, is what I had heard. So just a lot. If you want to fight stuff, this is where you go.
And just for the record, I my save ended on 96 hours.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
I don't remember what mine turned on to.
Neither do I.
Battery. Otherwise, go check.
I think that'll be it for a second. We're going to transition real quick into an ad break, and we'll be right back.
But anyway, so I think we could finally cut it with the story and go straight into kind of the gameplay and our general impressions of it.
Did they save him?
What?
Did they save him?
Oh,
I assume they do.
He becomes... No, that's the thing.
Does he become a god?
He was Dor.
Yeah, he becomes a Dor, and they don't save him, but I guess he's going to be reincarnated or something?
As a Dor?
I don't know. Maybe we'll do a follow-up episode when we play the answer.
Next season.
Right? Oh, man. Maybe. All right, yeah, let's move on.
So I really liked the gameplay. I thought that was actually the fun part.
Which part of the gameplay? The combat, the story stuff?
Combat.
Okay. Yeah, I like
an RPG combat. I enjoyed it. I liked that finding the element and then exploiting that to take down the enemy, timing your attacks so that certain guys fell and then your other guys would, take advantage of that. And and then doing that all out attack was great. I loved that. That was a lot of fun.
If you like the combat in this, you'll love Persona 5, Royal and 3 and or not 3, Persona, basically the other Persona games, because it's all that. And each one, it gets better.
I thought it was also interesting. Well, I know that you were saying you wanted to switch to portable, because in portable, you have control of all your characters. But in the Fez version, which is what I played,
it was before they let you do that.
Yeah, you only get to play as your main character, and then everyone else is an AI. But you can do tactics and tell them to do certain things.
I would argue it's one of the worst mechanics. To have your character's AI in a game where if your main character gets wiped, the game ends. One of the worst mechanics you can have.
But I liked that. I really enjoyed that. I thought it was an interesting change from the natural RPG combat.
My issue is, I don't mind if it's a boss or something like that, because it's expected, right? My issue is when it's just RNG, right? Because there's sometimes where it's I've beaten all these mobs before, but they just got lucky, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd walk into a battle, and then I just get swamped.
Yeah, I'd be all my grinding is gone.
Yeah, yeah, that's the big one. That happened a couple times. I just, got smashed.
There's a couple times where I had that happen. I'm like, well, I'm done.
But there was... I actually liked it, because I got to really know how my players... strategies, how they worked, and how which character focused on which stuff and when to exploit it. I learned when they would do that. My main team was always Yukari, Mitsuru, and Akihiko.
Yeah.
Because he was my heavy hitter. Yukari was my healer, and Mitsuru had some neat stuff that helped my favorite a lot with like that charm and that Tentarufu thing that dizzies them. That saved me so many times. But yeah, once I after a while you get to know their play styles, and I was able to exploit work that into my plan, and when everything goes according to plan, it's awesome. It feels great. And you feel like in sync with your team. I loved that. That was a really good feeling.
I love, that's one of my favorite things about these games. Just like, it's, you know, there's a while where there's the argument of like, oh, is turn-based dead and stuff like that. These games prove that it's not. It's clearly still good. Like the new one is like, they keep getting better with it too. And like advancing it, like they are like, oh, well this is bad. Let's make this better or things like that. So that's one thing I love is that they continually make, you know, their games better. But yeah, I mean, that's good. I'm glad you like that part of it at the very least.
Yeah, because like combat's fun and kind of playing with their personas is fun and figuring out all that stuff is fun. I think my main issue with the game was just Tartarus just wasn't that fun.
No.
Like the combat, the music, everything, you know, the first half of the story was kind of lacking. I think the second half I got a little bit more into it, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a revelationary type thing for me or anything. But Tartarus was just really, it was the same stuff with a slightly different skin, you know? You could say the similar kind of things in 4 and 5, because, like, it's a dungeon, right? But the way they go about them are different. Persona 4, you have the TV world, and each one has, you know, it's different themes. It's the same kind of thing, but, like, it's done differently, which I like. And 5 is very different with the palaces, which has probably been my favorite interpretation of, like, that kind of mechanic yet. So
I guess we can move on to S-Links.
Move on to what?
No, go ahead.
Oh, because I was just gonna complain about Tartarus some more, honestly. Because, like, this is something that Bill and I both know. In Persona 5, there's something called Mementos, which operates a lot like Tartarus, where it's a randomly generated dungeon. Every floor is randomly generated, et cetera, et cetera. And then you're fighting enemies that you fought throughout the game. Like, you're not running into anything new in Mementos. But the way that they spin it is it's not the main gameplay loop. And I feel like that's the issue, is having Tartarus be the main gameplay loop where you're only experiencing randomly generated dungeons just got pretty annoying. And then also just running into the same enemies over and over and over again who only change slightly or change color or change weakness was kind of just frustrating, like when enter like hour 30. It's just like, oh, I'm already running into things that I've seen before.
It's the same looking guy, just with a different appendage.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a different color mask. Like, it got old really fast.
And then sometimes they'd have the same elemental weakness. And so, like,
right,
you know, like 100 hours, 100 floors later, you come across that same tank and you're like, oh, I zap it with electricity and then we gangbang it. And it's like, yeah. It's every time, like, it's usually the same weakness, so it's not even challenging or like subverting your expectations.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would say that was one of the bigger negatives for me was the repetitiveness of Tartarus. And just like, again, I think a large majority of my problems of this game comes from just coming off of P5R specifically.
Yeah,
being like, they did this, but better, you know, combat better, story better. You know, the randomized dungeon better. Like, it's just kind of consistently had my expectations on that, what I was just playing. I mean, that was my biggest thing. I think that plus just kind of the bland first half of the game, it was pretty boring, I would argue. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It was one of those things. I think, just coming off P5R, it was just, it made me miss that so much more, because it's so much more dynamic of a game than this one was. And I was just like, oh, I was expecting, you know, more of a P4 or P5 experience. And instead it was kind of that, but just like a much smaller version of it, it feels like, you know?
Yeah.
Because like, there's so many days, once you get all your social stats up, which doesn't really take that long, because there's only 3 of them in this one.
Oh, especially compared to Persona 5.
Yeah, it takes you forever.
Yeah.
P4 was like, or, and P4 takes a good chunk too. This one was like, it felt like it was No Time Flat. I had all those. And then outside of what? I think there's the two evening social. Yeah,
the businessman, the monk, or the evening.
Yeah. There's nothing to do at night, basically. So you're just like, all right, well, I guess I go to bed. You know?
Yeah, that's where you would try
to study
stats up in the evening or go to Tartarus. But
right. But once you get your stats up, which, again, doesn't take that long.
Right. Then there's nothing to do in the evening.
Yeah.
But I definitely went and checked every time because...
That sounds about right.
Okay, but the social links, though, that was even boring in the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was really weirded out because the first guy you meet is Kenji, and he's talking about this crush he has on his teacher, yeah. And then you are supposed to encourage that relationship. You, as the player, have to encourage this teacher-student relationship.
Yeah, it is really weird.
Like, that was so strange. And then it's like, yeah, we're dating now. And I'm like, oh, okay.
It's going to go well, I'm sure.
And then at the end of the epilogue, when you talk to him, he's like talking about, hey, there's a couple of new teachers coming and we should go look them up together. And he's like, I felt so weird. Like, that was my introduction to social links, was this guy. I was like, great.
Yeah.
And then the second guy I talked to was the fat man who just talked about eating food. I was like, this is going to be
the gourmet king
game. Yeah. The gourmet king cultist who likes food and tries to get people to join his cult.
God, I missed so many social links. I just realized.
Oh, I did all of them.
I, fortunately enough, was able to do them all.
You were?
Yeah, I did get them all.
Well, so one thing I noticed about this, right? Because I feel like in P4 and P5, when you start your social links, it's like, you know, right after you're introduced to them or like they start joining you or things like that. Most of the main characters, at least, you don't get to do their social links until like the latter half of the game.
Yeah.
And like, depending, so if you're playing P3, you get, Portable, you get slightly different ones if you want to play as the female main character. So it's like you miss out on all these other social links. Like, it's not that they're locked out or anything. It's they didn't have them before. But I'm like, there's all these main characters you don't get time with.
Yeah,
like,
I definitely missed out on the boys.
Or Junpei or whatever. You don't really get depth to them to the extent. So like, part of me kind of wants to play or watch the female run because I want to see like what they're about some more.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. The other ones you get... You know, you get time with all the characters, and you get them at a pretty, you know, pretty early on time with their introduction to those characters, at least starting them. And I didn't realize how much I missed that because it fleshes these characters out.
Yeah.
Because, again, outside of, like, that one bit with Junpei, I don't really give a shit about him. I don't know anything about him. He just kind of seems like a turd.
Shinji, when he died, I didn't care because I didn't get to know him at all.
Yeah. Like, that's definitely something that I wanted to talk about going into this, is because, like, in Persona 5, you're introduced to these characters, and it's very easy to get attached to Ryuji when he's talking to you about his troubles, when he's talking to you about his past and stuff, through these social links. And then, like, it's like, I want to know more about Mitsuru, I want to know more about Junpei, I want to know more about these characters, and it shouldn't just be story exposition where I learn that. Yeah, and in the 11th hour of the game, it's like, oh, hey, you could finally talk to these characters, by the way. You could finally start, like, dating them if you want. It's like, I don't want to date them, I want to know them.
Well, yeah, but one thing that was annoying was, so, and I didn't realize how annoying this was going to be until I played it, was in 4 and 5, at least, I know Gold, and I don't know about the original version of 4, if you try and date multiple people, there's a special cutscene on Valentine's Day where they all are like, yo, you fucked up. And it's hilarious. It's so good. And this one, there's a little bit of a mechanic where they're like, oh, I see you with another girl. I'm going to roll back my social rank with you a little bit. But like, it didn't go far enough where it mattered. And it basically, like, in order to complete their social links, you have to date these characters kind of thing. With, like, you can't move forward otherwise. And I'm like, that's kind of scummy, it feels like. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, you have to do that with Yukari and Mitsuru, right? Like, you have to date them?
Like, all female character social links, I think you basically have to.
Because I remember the girl who's like obsessed with you really early on. I can't remember her name.
Chihiro?
I think so. Because she, I was already dating someone else, and she was just like, hey, I see you with this other girl, but I still really want you. And I told her no, and she was like, okay, but I'm still gonna like want you anyway. And it was really awkward because like her and it's almost like the game tries to force you with her, because all of her interactions is her talking about how much she'd love to have you as a boyfriend and how, oh, it looks like we're going on dates and stuff.
Council girl.
Yeah, the council girl.
For me, she was shy and she just couldn't do anything. Like, she was super shy and would always run away. And then, like, she was not obsessed with me.
Really?
Yeah, she, I mean, I got those vibes, Ty. Like, she, at least in my experience, she was very, like.
Well, yeah, she's into you, but she's shy about it. And then, like, you just hang out with her.
Maybe it was the way that it inflected it in the Persona 3 Portable versus the FES edition.
Maybe. Yeah, that's what I'm starting to wonder. Yeah,
she was like, you were trying to help her out of her shyness, and I really did not like her social link because she was just like, every time she would make a step towards becoming more outspoken, she'd run away. And it's like, oh, I was just giving you, I was extending my hand to you to shake your hand, and you ran away. It's like, right. Every single time I was trying to help you, you just wouldn't do it. And then at the very end, I think she like yells at a teacher, and like that's her development, is that she can yell at, she can be more outspoken.
She stood up for herself, because remember, she's the treasurer.
Yeah, and people were calling her out saying you stole money, which is silly, because it's like, why would she steal money?
Right.
This person that you guys know, why would she steal money?
Right. So, yeah. Yeah, that was kind of a weird one. But yeah, I didn't like that you had to, or whatever. And I don't know, just the structure of that, like, everything was kind of back-end heavy, I felt like. Most of the story, most of the kind of more interesting social links, and things like that, like, it took a while to really roll out, whereas if you play the other ones, it's kind of like, yeah, some of it might be a little bit later, but, like, it's way more interspersed throughout. And I just prefer that way more.
Yeah.
That's the other thing is, like, with the social links and the main characters, I really only thought Mitsuru had an interesting social link, because Fuka and Yukari's social links didn't have anything to do with the things that you find out about them or the traumas that they were dealt with in the main game. Like, Yukari doesn't talk about her dad, finding out about her dad. Like, that doesn't go into the social link. It's about her mom. And Fuka's like, she just wants to learn how to cook. Not the fact that she was bullied and you're trying to help her, like, you know, be more out, you know, confident in herself, but it's because she wants to cook. But Mitsuru brings up, yeah, my dad died. It's really hard. I'm really happy that you're here now and I can talk to you about these things. I really felt like there was a connection there, but like, I felt like that was a missed opportunity with Yukari, because that was a main focus for a bit, was her father was involved with this whole thing. And then he died. Like,
yeah.
I just felt like they should have had that more talking about that.
Yeah. I didn't do any of the late game social links. I did just kind of my handful. Like I told you guys, like, I didn't do all of them. I wish I did all of them, but I didn't. But it's funny because, like, now that I'm hearing that, I'm really starting to realize how good we had it in Persona 5.
Yeah. It's crazy. I think, is that, oh wait, so that's how you got through the game so fast.
Like, the thing is, I tried to do a lot of the social links, but I realized that I missed a lot of them, like, late game.
Yeah. I mostly completed everything, I think. I think I missed out on, like, 3 or 4 Elizabeth quests, and I did everything else.
Did you do all her date quests? Because you get to sleep with her at the end.
I missed one of them. That was one of the ones I missed, which I was upset about. Not the sleeping with part, but just the because I'm like, no
character to get around though. He really does.
I didn't think I would get so close to like getting every like all of them, but by the end I'm like, I'm only missing like a very small handful of.
Oh yeah, halfway through the game I was like, I'm way too far gone. I only have like 4 social links done. Oh. I was like, fuck this. I'm gonna try to see who else I can get, and I kind of knew I wouldn't get a lot, so I was just like, I'm just gonna get the characters that I care about, and I did.
Well, what's crazy was in like P5, right? So, like, since I beat P5 with P5R, I'm trying to do 100% run up until the new content.
Yeah.
Is basically what I'm doing. So I'm following this guide and like reading it, I'm like, there's like very, very, very small percentage of you 100%ing getting every social link through.
Wow.
You're for your first run.
Yeah.
Unless you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
In this, it was like, cool, I just stumbled into it. I didn't go in expecting, because I wanted a real experience, you know? I didn't want to use a guide. I just kind of wanted to be majoritively surprised by what happened.
Yeah.
Because that's what I did with P5, that's what I did with P4. Like, I believe having your first experience being what it is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that was basically how it went with me.
Yeah. And so I was able to stumble through this versus P5. If you look through it, it's like you can get through most of the way through or things like that, but there's just so much to do that like you kind of have to know what you're doing and having a plan through if you want to do everything, which is, I mean, like you can, I think, but like you have to like be actively doing everything, you know? It's interesting.
Yeah, someone told me, I didn't look up a guide either, but someone told me, you know, the best way to go through the Persona 3 is weekdays you focus on social links, evenings you work on stats, and weekends is Tartarus because there's nothing really going on the weekends.
Yeah, there's like one social link on Sunday, and then Saturday is hit and miss.
Yeah, there's two. There's the girl, your teacher.
Oh, yeah, there's two, and then the little girl.
And which that was weird too. Did you finish that one?
Yeah, I finished.
So did you talk to the teacher afterwards in the epilogue?
Oh yeah, that was great. Like,
want to go out for dinner? And then she runs away. It's like, oh my gosh, what is with this game and teacher-student relationships?
Oh boy, Jack, you really need to play Persona 5. You got to meet my girl, Kawakami. She's amazing.
Oh, man.
Oh, jeez.
That's great.
And then there's the little girl who wants to marry you, too.
Oh, that's...
I mean, it wasn't like that.
No, it's
I assume it was more cute. Little
things like, yeah, it's not like serious, but it's like
it's not creepy.
It's like, hey, you were there for me, and I love you. Let's get married when I get older.
Sorry, no. So my fiance is the next room over, and she messaged me, Kawakami sucks.
That's fantastic.
But yeah, so social links, quite different.
Did you guys go to the top floor of the dorms, the office or whatever it was?
Yeah, and watch the cameras.
Oh, that was awesome.
Those had me rolling.
Yeah.
Some of those were really funny, yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing about this game, is it's still at its heart as a Persona game, and it still has these really good interactions between the characters and these like really good little moments. Like the cameras were great. Kind of learning what we knew about the characters was great. The vacations were surprisingly fun, and just kind of talking to these characters and seeing how they act in this new environment was cool, and I just wish that there was just more of it.
How they handled the art style too was like in cutscenes where like they would have a reaction shot flash across the screen or something, and there's like comic-y things. Yeah. Like
it was very was cool.
Yeah.
Which led to the future games being so dynamic.
Yeah.
Right? That's the thing.
See that.
The I feel like this game was very ahead of its time in the sense of just like a lot of the things they did were building blocks for 4 and 4.5 that like led them to be what they are today.
Yeah.
I see the direct correlation from this game to the other ones to a major degree. And like, it's a very, like, it's an evolution, right? I thoroughly, like, there's things I thoroughly enjoyed and things I thoroughly had issues with in this game. But at the end of the day, I'm like, I still overall enjoyed my experience with it.
Yeah. In a way, it reminds me of our Final Fantasy 1 playthrough, where it was a very bare-bones game. It was very, like, rudimentary, but it was still kind of fun. And you see what led on to the later Final Fantasies, and you see how it was, like, this genesis of the genre.
You understand why it was so revolutionary.
But at the same time, it's also still dated. It's still not great. It's, you know, it's like a concrete slab. Like, a lot of stuff is going to be built on it, but at the moment, it's just kind of a concrete slab.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I can see that, but I feel like the opposite of my review of Final Fantasy, where I liked it going in, and then as I kept playing it, I started to hate it and hate it. I got so angry every time I had to turn this game on.
Oh, this one.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, you're really channeling me from our Tales of the Abyss review, honestly.
Rotating.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's one thing you can't deny that's amazing, and that's regular for the series, is amazing
music. The music. Oh, oh man. Each song is a bop.
It's so good. Oh, yeah. How did they do it 3 times in a row?
I know. It's absurd.
Oh, it's so good.
I wonder if it's the same music designer or whatever.
Probably.
I think it is. But it's good. Even though it's like repetitive, but like it's like every time it come on, I'd be bopping my head. I'd be singing along with the lyrics.
I mean, it's not Chrono Cross where like the music's good, but it's the same song. At least this one, there's like what, like 2 or 3 different songs. Like there was the boss song. There was like 2 different combat songs and stuff like that. It was usually the baby.
The rapid songs were so good.
Yeah. It's one of those soundtracks that's like a wide berth of genre, but like still rooted in the same. And it's so, so good.
Loved it. Definitely going on my playlists when I listen to music.
Should we kind of wrap up with our final reviews and scores?
Yeah, sure. Who wants to start it out? I can, you can, I don't care.
I'm going to start out because I'll have the negative.
Yeah, go for it.
Going to the positives. Overall, I'm glad I played it because I've known of the series for a long time and I've always been curious and I'm glad I got to try it and go through it and see what it's about. And I can absolutely see why 5 is such a great game it is. I haven't played it yet, but I can already see the improvements they can make on this formula and just how amazing it would be just from the stuff I've seen. So I'm sure if I did play 5, I would absolutely love it because it the things I did like are the things that it worked on in the future series.
Yeah.
But that being said, I really disliked the pacing of the story. I disliked most of the social links. There was only like 3 or 4 that I actually liked and characters I really liked. Combat was fun, but overall I would say it was 30 hours too long. And 100 levels too deep. Like it should have been a lot shorter. But I get that every day you're living the life of a high schooler every day. But it's just there is just so much wasted time. I felt like I was wasting my time every time I played this game. So I would probably give it a solid 4 out of 10.
Ty, you want to go?
So I agree with a lot of Jack's points. Like the story is not well paced. The story, especially compared to Persona 5, kind of felt just off and just kind of, I don't want to say forced, but it just kind of felt off. It didn't feel as like well thought out, or it didn't feel as human, I guess. Mm. But other than that, the social links that I had, I didn't do all of them. Some of them I really enjoyed. Some of the other ones I could really not care about. But I'm trying to think of like how to like summarize it up like perfectly, but because I always try to end on like a metaphor, but I don't think I'll be able to do it this time. Basically like the main gameplay loop of Tartarus gets really boring really fast. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge damper on me, but I still had fun with the Persona system. I still had fun with the combat. The boss battles were a lot of fun for me. Oh, we didn't talk about the 14 phase final boss. But there's
We can talk about that.
Yeah, to pause this really quick, there is a 14 phase final boss and it's annoying as hell because if you die in that 14th phase you have to go all the way back to the beginning and do another hour and a half long boss fight.
So let me tell you guys about yesterday when we were trying to record this.
Yeah,
so I told you guys I was going to be able to go play this after work and finish the boss easy.
Yeah.
I went through each phase maybe a turn or two, you know, just knocked it out. Yeah. And then we get to the final phase of death. And I was like, oh, I'm not, you know, chopping this HP down as fast as I was. So I spent, you know, like a half an hour chopping it down. It gets to the point where you can barely see its life. And I didn't die.
Sliver.
It was worse. It used that Echo Knight attack that causes a random status effect and caused charm on Mitsuru. And she happened to go next. and she healed the boss completely.
Oh my god.
I was so livid. I turned the game off and just like stopped for the day, and then I went back to it later. I was able to do it. And that's why we were so late with recording, because I because of that.
Jesus. Oh my god.
I would have been furious.
That's a nightmare. The funny thing is, I've done something like that in what was the game? Not Bravely Default. What's the game? Octopath. Hmm. Where I completely healed up a boss on accident. But oh my god, that's such a feel bad. Like,
I was mad.
Because the final boss wasn't so much hard as it was just annoying.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It was just chipping away.
I would say the first, like, all of the phases up to the last one was kind of just like, all right, whatever, you knock it out pretty quickly. At least in my experience. Like, I bopped basically all those phases up until the last one. Then the last one's like, all right, now here's the boss.
Yeah.
It's kind of my experience with it.
Yeah, and I had much of the same. Like, so ultimately, I liked the boss designs. I liked the combat. It was just the main gameplay loop of Tartarus, along with the not-so-stellar story, along with a kind of boring overworld that, I don't know, overall I liked it. I see, having played Persona 5 before this, I see where the direction of the series. I really want to play 4. I need to get on that eventually. But I think my final score for it overall is probably like a 6 out of 10. There's things to enjoy, but the game isn't aging as gracefully as I thought it would.
Yeah, I would say I generally figure around the same with you. Also, that boss was the epitome of this isn't even my final form.
Honestly.
Like, legitimately. It's like, all right, 12 forms, then the 13th form. You defeat that. Then it's like, well, now I'm the moon.
Yeah, I was so mad because it's like, there are 22 social links. So I was like, oh, shoot, we're going to go through all 22 social links?
Oh, 12 my God. Is too many. I probably would have like been like, all right, I beat the game.
I'm gonna Google up the ending and call it here.
So for me, you know, it's hitting the same kind of points as these guys. Like, the first half of the game was kind of whatever. I got into it the second half. I liked the themes about death and things like that. I thought it was interesting. I think that there was a lot of kind of duality to the dialogue and stuff like that, which I love. That it, you know, it reads a little bit deeper than it is sometimes. But as a whole, there's a lot to left to be desired. I think the themes in P4 of accepting oneself and the other themes in P5 do it way better. However, I don't think that it was bad in this game. I just watched the movies today, kind of get prepared for this. There's 4 movies, and it takes, you don't really do it with all the other character social links or anything like that. It's the main story of the game, plus like certain big stuff with the main characters, and it's a much more kind of refined experience. That when I watch the P5 stuff, I'm like, all right, there's kind of too much extra in here that is unnecessary. I think the 4 movies did a really good job of explaining the story and the progression of it. That I'd be more likely to like want to watch those than to experience the game again. Not even for time factor, just in terms of an experience of the story, because they tell me everything I wanted to there better than this did for me, at least for a first time going into this at 2020 for this game, you know, because that's the thing is all the other games just kind of do what I want out of this better.
Yeah.
That being said, there's some cool stuff. I think if I would have played this 10 years ago, I would have loved it. You know, if I would have played this when it came out, I probably would have loved it. It would probably have been very much more impactful for me. I would love to talk to somebody who played it back then and get their experience for it back then, you know? But between the music, between everything else, I would have to say this is a movies out of 10. Like, just go watch. For me, it was watch the movies because it explained the story, you know, faster. But I'm also interested to see somebody who hasn't played the game if they can comprehend what's happening in the movies, too. So,
yeah.
But for real though, probably a 6 or 7 for me personally. This was not my favorite of the franchise, but I think it's a good start to what it became. And just a good basis. I enjoyed my time with it.
Yeah.
Looking back now, playing through it was kind of a slog.
Yeah, that's ultimately what it really came down to. Is just playing through it, it felt like, you know, it felt like you were just walking through water, where it's just kind of holding you back. It's a little rough.
That's a good word for it. Like, but, you know it's coming, but you want, like, acknowledge me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it really felt like the game was just going slower than it should have. I don't think it was, like, wasting my time. I think that was something I said about Tales of the Abyss. But I never had the sense that it was, like, doing this just to last longer.
It was just what it was.
Yeah. During some of the, you know, Tartarus grind, I felt that. But for the larger part of the game, I didn't feel that way.
Dungeons.
Yeah, yeah.
That goes hand in hand with that.
But, I don't know, man. Some of these social links, like baby social links... He, at least 5 days was him talking about, I want to make a Camino. I'm making a Camino. Oh, I'm working on this Camino. Yeah, this Camino is going to be great. It's going to convince my uncle to let me stay. All right, I'm working on this Camino. Like, that was a complete waste of my time.
Okay, yeah, that was a bit of a waste. That was one of the social links I got. That was a bit of a waste.
Also, side thing, Baby gets jealous if you don't hang out with him.
Oh, does he?
Yeah,
really?
Because that happened to me. He reversed his thing on me.
I agree.
He gets not jealous that you're hanging out with a girl, but jealous is like, am I not your friend anymore? What happened? And then like I had to go to the shrine to reverse it, you know?
Oh god.
It was so annoying.
I was lucky and I didn't get any reverse. I think we definitely had a mixed bag of thoughts on this game.
Yeah.
You know, there is good and bad. I think, you know, we all came out of it with a mid to like positive experience, I think, overall. Like, I don't think any of us saying it's bad by any means, but they definitely had its issues, right?
Yeah.
You know, it did what it did well, and it pushed the series forward.
Yeah.
I'm personally glad we played it, but at the same time, I don't think I'm going to go back to this entry anytime soon. Maybe to check out the answer. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe one day I'll look at the answer.
Yeah. I think that's it for this one.
Yeah, our next game is Final Fantasy. Last Story.
Last Story. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to setting up a Wii emulator. I mean, a completely legitimate Wii console.
It's called Find My Wii, and then maybe, or I just try and do the thing.
Yeah, I might just order a copy off of Amazon or eBay or something and just say screw it, plug it into a TV and run it.
Yeah.
Either way, it's going to be an interesting one. Jack, you've played it, correct?
I've attempted to play it twice, but every time I've gone through it, which each time I've thoroughly enjoyed it, some big game release came out and distracted me and I never went back to it. but the reason why I went over... What?
That's totally not going to happen with Cyberpunk.
No, absolutely not. But the reason why I went back to it is because I wanted to experience the story again because I enjoyed everything up to that point. So that's why I started it over again. I really like this game. So, you know, it's good. So I'm excited to actually finish it. Let's see what happens, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. So I think that does it for this episode. In the words of the opening of Persona 3, remember, you will die. This has been Bill.
This is Jack.
And this is Ty.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
All right, see ya.
Hey there, Bill again. Special thanks go out to Ian Harris, who created our logo and design, at IanHarris247 at Instagram. We also have Baron Von Future, who created our fabtabulous intro and outro music. Check them out on Facebook and Instagram, and check out his music on the web at baronvonfuture.com. And I'll catch you guys next time.